You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hi, everybody. It is the 10th of April, 2021. My name is Luke Thomas, and this, of course, is my UFC on ABC2 reaction video, my immediate reaction video. Appreciate everybody joining me. I'm going to get to the results for UFC ABC2, but for today's video, just the main event and a little bit of that co-main event. We're going to save the rest of the card and some of the bigger picture stuff, plus Bellator, for Monday's Morning Combat. Of course, Morning Combat airs Monday, Wednesday, Friday at 11 a.m. in the East, live all three of those days. But just today, just a reaction video, and just sort of the top of that card. Please give the video a thumbs up, hit that subscription, and I'm assuming if you're here, you're not here because you're worried about spoilers, but just in case you are, now's your chance to get out of here because spoilers are on the way. Yeah? You ready? 3, 2, 1. Okay, let's get to it. All right, so as I mentioned, there's a lot to get to with the entirety of the card, the entirety of the combat sports weekend, but let's start and really just focus in on for this video that main event. So, your winner, Marvin Vettori, defeats Kevin Holland 50-44 across the board on all three judges' scorecards. He, of course, is your winner now. 5 wins in a row. Puts him in an interesting position, which we'll talk about here. But let's start with the fight itself. How did he get it done? Listen, I mean, I don't know what you want to say. Like, Kevin Holland took a gamble taking this fight, right? And the gamble was pretty obvious. Yes, if you take a fight 3 weeks after you took your last fight, you may not be that prepared for this one, and 2 losses in a row could be pretty bad for you in quick succession like that. Best not to do it, right? Maybe don't risk it. The other side is, yes, it is short notice, and the opponent is even tougher, certainly more highly ranked than the last one. But if you win, it could, of course, erase much or all of the damage from the last loss. I mean, you'd be getting a win over a top 5 competitor at that point. There could be huge value to getting that kind of an opponent. And in a world where a lot of guys say no to opposition, getting the chance to fight someone that highly ranked would be pretty good. But here's the problem with it, man. You didn't just lose 3 weeks ago. You lost in a way that enabled the person who beat you, in that case, Derek Brunson, to write something of a blueprint others could follow, especially if the time horizon between the first and second fights is 3 weeks. I mean, how much could Derek Brunson repair, excuse me, not Derek Brunson, I should say, how much could Kevin Holland repair the damage that was done in terms of the basic question is this. How much better could Kevin Holland get in 3 weeks in such a way that Vettori wouldn't be able to follow the Derek Brunson game plan? And the answer is basically not at all. I did not like Kevin Holland taking this fight. I know there is a lot of belief, with good reason, that consistency is a thing that you want to keep up. If you can get 5 fights in a year, take it. A lot of times guys only get 1 or 2. 3 is a number that a lot of them are satisfied with, but they often want more. And so, you know, getting that kind of consistency can be good for you. Being a name that the UFC can rely upon to call and have you answer that call is very, very important for the organization. They tend to look very favorably on that. Remember, they've got this machine of content that they want to churn out. The folks that can enable that machine to run more nimbly and effortlessly are the kinds of guys that are going to get opportunities in this organization more often than not. So these, you know, these are decent traits to have for the right circumstance, but this was not the time to double down. Vettori does not have a bad chin. He is huge for the weight class, strong. I don't know that he's the wrestler, so to speak, that Derek Brunson is, but he is plenty capable, you knew coming into this fight, of following the kinds of things that Derek Brunson did to win against Kevin Holland. And by the way, he trains with a good team. He's a decent, to maybe even good striker in certain capacities. I just feel like it was a really bad miscalculation on his part to put himself here. Now, again, it's not the end of the world. He can take time to get a good camp, work on some of his deficiencies, and then get an opponent, look great, you know, build back on that, take a fight a month later, and then, you know, some of this chapter of his career will be forgotten. But this was not well managed. You just had to ask yourself, what would be the value in taking a fight after 3 weeks when you got kind of audited in that last fight and the guy you're saying yes to has the capability of following that audited path? I didn't like the gamble for him, and it did not pay off in this case. Now, how did Vettori do it? Takedowns were key. Let me pull some of these numbers up here while I'm talking if I can. He was able to get the takedown basically whenever he needed it. I don't know how many of these were stuffed. We're going to find out here in just a second. Yeah, he landed 11 of 17 takedowns. I think that was tied for the most takedown attempts in middleweight history. His control time, Marvin Vettori's control time, 20 minutes. The fight's only 25 minutes long. He held it for 20 minutes and 1 second. That means less than a round was at least neutral, or Kevin Holland had a better position or some kind of a controlling position on top or against the fence. They have it for 3 seconds. They've got him in control positions. Three. Marvin Vettori, 20 minutes. They could have fought a 3-minute fight and he still would have had an entire another round after that of control. That's insane. That's completely insane. Plus, he attempted 250 total strikes, and he just landed 24 significant strikes, so not a lot there, but he attempted 64. Kevin Holland attempting 103. Technically, I should say numerically outstriking Marvin Vettori, 37 to 24, but obviously that's not really the story of the fight. The story of the fight is he couldn't stay on his feet. Marvin Vettori, I think, has very underrated takedowns along the fence line. I tweeted to that effect. I think that you'll watch him. He'll pull people off, move them in a direction, and then switch directions in the last second to get them to go to the empty space he's now created. Plus, if you know anything about wrestling and you change directions through a takedown, it's almost like chaining two takedown attempts together a little bit. So he's really quite good at doing that. On top, he has just great pressure. Kevin Holland is pretty good about not taking a ton of damage underneath, although that left eye got banged up. Kamaru Usman was remarking about the corner work, that they did not do a good job to put Enswell or otherwise address a problematic vision. I have to go back and see exactly. But, you know, Marvin Vettori did everything that he was basically supposed to. He did everything that... Listen, I said on Morning Combat on Friday, this was something of an IQ test. You just saw a guy beat Kevin Holland with all of the skills you might need and have to get the job done. Again, Brunson is not Vettori. Vettori is not Brunson. But there's enough overlap in the way in which he got it done for Vettori to be like, okay, well, this is very doable. Was he going to make the appropriate choices, the smart choices, to do it? And that is exactly what he did. I know there is some criticism of Vettori for not getting a finish over Kevin Holland, which, okay, fine. You got a guy who came in on short notice and you couldn't put him away. But I'd say a couple things. One, I just mentioned Holland underneath doesn't take a ton of abuse. He's actually pretty good about that. He gets taken down very, relatively easily, but underneath he doesn't get beat up so badly. I'm just sort of flabbergasted by the whole thing, to be quite honest with you. I understand, as I mentioned, criticizing Vettori because he didn't get the finish. But in addition to being a case where Holland is good underneath, we've often seen situations where headliners, their opponent falls out last minute and then they get real risk averse or... they don't quite look like themselves. They get the W, but it's not like all that great. You know, DC against Silva is a great example of that, or you know, John Jones against Ovince St. Preux. I know there's some broader questions about potential drug testing issues there, but still, you know, it's not just cases where it's, you know, people who might have run-ins with USADA. It's happened across the board in multiple weight classes. So I tend to think this guy saw a path, and the path doesn't lead to like blinding excitement or easy finishes or whatever, but it does lead to W's. By the way, Kevin Holland's takedown defense is 51%. Not great. But the bigger story here is Marvin Vettori. So Vettori has now won every fight since the Adesanya loss, which was only a split decision loss. He had a draw with Omari Akhmedov before that and one loss to Antonio Carlos Jr., who's no longer even in the UFC. So since that loss to Adesanya, he beat Mutanchi, Cesar Ferreira, Andrew Sanchez. He decisioned. He stopped Carl Roberson, and then he decisioned his last two fighters, Jack Hermanson and Kevin Holland. So let's talk about some of the good side here for Marvin Vettori. You know, he does scream a lot. He does seem to be a bit of a bro slash meathead, but I got to tell you, I tend to think that the arguments about what that means for someone's fight IQ can sometimes be overstated. He made a lot of really good, smart, calculated, level-headed decisions. He even early had Kevin Holland kind of jibber-jabbering in his ear. He didn't let it deter him. He didn't try to fight fire with fire. He stuck to his game plan. This might seem to many to be like, oh, that's what you're supposed to do. Well, those are basic building blocks for folks who ultimately want to do great things. And I think, you know, as generally speaking, a condition for winning, but you'd be surprised how many fighters, including good ones, including high-level ones, that sometimes can't follow through on those kinds of missions. It's not glamorous. It's not pretty. It's not easy, but it's the way to get a W. And, you know, I think following that in the way that he has speaks highly of him. On top of that, again, physical for the weight class. On top of that, I think his striking has come around a long way. I thought for him, the double jab to get inside was really working for him for the most part. He didn't take a ton of big shots from Kevin Holland. Kevin Holland got, you know, he got a pound of flesh off of him with some decent strikes, but in general, not really. In general, you saw good distance management. You saw good defense, whether he was slipping or using his feet or using his trunk movement. He was able to get out of the way. And then once he was able to get along the fence line, as I mentioned, he's got super underrated takedowns on along the fence. And he passes guard. He moves to mount. He moves to half guard. He makes the person underneath work. He knows how to advance that process both offensively and then in a fatiguing way to add, you know, difficulty to what the opponent is already facing. So I have a lot of respect for Marvin Vettori. I think he's a very good fighter. The question is, would he deserve a title shot from this win? I don't think so. If you look at the current rankings, these can be obviously quite subjective and ultimately the promoters win. But if you just look at the rankings right now, middleweight, here's the rankings as they stand. You've got Whitaker, Costa, Cannonier, Brunson, Till, and then Vettori. Okay, Brunson's got the win. Till was out, so Vettori is probably going to pass him. So then you got Cannonier, Costa, and Whitaker. Now, Whitaker's going to be fighting Kelvin Gastelum. If Whitaker wins, I just don't know how he doesn't get that title shot. Let's say he loses, so now it's a little bit more wide open at the top. Costa won't get it. I'm not sure if Cannonier has a fight, but they might do Cannonier-Brunson, or they might do Brunson versus Vettori, or maybe they do Cannonier versus Vettori. But here's the point. He has at least one more fight, I think, to be in a space where he can be called a rightful top contender. Maybe even two, depending on how it all shakes out. That was not the win, as good as I think it was, and as much as I understand why the finish may not come. Also, you look at his record, he doesn't have a ton of finishes. You could probably make the claim that, yes, coming in on short notice, your opponent changing, can derail the best of efforts. At the same time, you might want to ask questions about Vettori, whether or not he's enough of a finisher. But what we do know is he's enough of a winner to merit not a title shot, but you could maybe argue a number one contender fight, or certainly top three level opponent, something like that. I think that's the space he is currently in. He's not in top three, he's in top five, but you know, somewhere a little bit above that is where he could probably set his sights on an opponent, but that's not quite number one contender situation. I guess the argument that I'm making is the prettiness of the win to me is not, and it wasn't very pretty, but that's not the determining factor in whether or not I side with Vettori in getting the title shot. To me, it's like, okay, maybe I'd count that if you were close enough.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
But you're not close enough. There's another level here to get to. As for Kevin Holland, he was ranked 10th. That's going to drop him outside of the Weidman-Shabazian Omari. Or actually, it's going to drop him into the Weidman-Shabazian, Akhmedov, Tavares, and Strickland portion of that division, which is still quite difficult. Candidly, like, do you like Holland's chances against Chris Weidman? I gotta tell you, I don't think that I do. I don't think I like that at all. So that could get a little dicey for him, to be honest with you. So keep that in mind. And he just needs to work on his game, man. He needs to work on his game. 10 rounds here of being held down by guys in the division, and there's probably a lot of other guys who can do that. Weidman could do it maybe. You know, yes, you can get knocked out, but it's like, dude, what does Vettori offer that Weidman offers? I mean, Weidman might be the better pure wrestler, but Vettori can do most of that work, and he's in bigger, and he's more durable. Like, that's a tough guy to beat. So maybe Weidman's more beatable in that sense, but not by a whole lot. Shabazian, I think, is still looking for a recovery moment. That could be an interesting fight. Tavares can wrestle if he wants to. Akhmedov can wrestle if he wants to. Strickland, of course, would be on the feet as well, but that would be a fun fight there. Still, there's no easy outs for him. Middleweight is actually tough still through 15. Used to be it was only like the first 8 or 9. Now all 15 are pretty tough, especially if you've got glaring deficiencies like that. Really, really, really think he's got to work on his takedown defense. You heard about the down block. We've talked about down blocking on Dissected or Technical Difficulties a ton as it relates to Israel Adesanya being out of position, not being ready to down block. Holland's got some of those issues too. Actually, much more pronounced, I would say. Adesanya has very good takedown defense along the fence line. So we'll see what happens there. Let's get to that co-main. And in your co-main event, Arnold Allen defeating Sadiq Youssef, 29-28 across the board there as well. A very nice win for Arnold Allen. Sadiq Youssef, again, that's one of those fights where I'm going to have to really go through the tape and see exactly what the weapons were they were using and what the strategies were. So this is just obviously my instant reaction off the cuff. But the way it looked to me was that Sadiq Youssef is probably the better athlete, certainly the harder hitter, faster, that kind of a thing. And I think is a very thoughtful, smart, you know, in your hard-nosed kind of striker. He's a little bit old school in that way, but he's got a new school game. Still, Arnold Allen, I don't think has those kinds of attributes in the way that Youssef does, but he does have good modernity to his game. He's certainly no slouch as an athlete, and the thing for me was he just had more weapons. You know, he just had more choices to go with. It's not that he was more skilled at the things they both do. He just had more areas to go to in a fight that made him a little bit more unpredictable. He had good timing. He was constantly timing off of the cross or the straight punch of Youssef. So he would let it go. And as soon as he let it go, he was either slipping and coming around it or, you know, finding some other opening. He was waiting until Youssef was completely committed. And then he was, you know, finding an option around that. But he had the takedown option. He had a little bit more options to pick in through the ranges. Again, I thought Youssef is more dangerous through those ranges, but he just had a lot of different looks to give, a lot of different weapons to go to. He slowed the fight down to his pace, and then he used that diverse skill set to get the wins. If you look at some of the numbers from this fight, he got 2 of 5 takedowns. Those takedowns came both in the first round, but he attempted a bunch in the third. The numbers are interesting because Youssef outlanded him basically 2-1 numerically, 10-13 in the first one for Allen and then Youssef. But after that, it falls off a cliff. Youssef landed 18-9 for Allen in the second, and then the third really came on, just 2 strikes for Allen. Youssef in the third. But what's kind of interesting to me was that, like, even with those 16 strikes, I'm not sure how many of them were really all that impactful. no one really put their stamp on that third round. There was a lot of clinching, a lot of wrestling. I thought Yusuf doing the most good work with the way in which it was fought. Not especially exciting, but, you know, he's able to sort of sneak in, you know, knees to the thigh, the occasional punch at range, that kind of a thing. But it was the first two rounds, especially that first round with the takedowns from Allen, that kind of set the tone, that showed he was able to control Yusuf. He was able to find the clinching when he needed to, push him against the fence when he needed to, and then separate and reset. So it was one of these situations where it was like, it's not like a case of smarts versus not smarts. That's really not the right way to look at it. It's a case to me of Yusuf. I do think, how old is he? He's not, I think he's pretty young, Sadiq Yusuf. I have to look this up to be sure. Let's see. According to Wikipedia, he's 27. Yeah. He's got a couple more years, I think, to keep adding some stuff. Because what he's got is incredibly potent. What he's got is, you know, just really, 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 he's just, as I mentioned, in your face, barrels down on top of you. You know, Rob Kamen kind of kickboxing a little bit. I mean, they're very different styles, but it just reminded me, especially with that back leg kick he was going after. But I don't think he's really developed the other parts that he needs to as much as he can. Like, what other threats are there in close range that he has? What other threats are there for the takedown? What are the threats if you take him down from guard? And there, it's a lot of just resistance to get back to that same kind of position, which you might say about Israel Adesanya. Okay, fine. You can do it if you don't lose fights like this. But if you're in this division, featherweight division, you know, you got to become, you just have to have more weapons, because these guys like Allen, dude, he's just a Swiss Army knife. The blade isn't as sharp, you know. Maybe it's a Bowie knife versus a pocket knife. But at the same time, if you can do more, if you've got scissors and a toothpick and tweezers and, you know, everything else, you're just going to be able to find that useful across many different circumstances. Plus, Arnold Allen already has very good decision-making. He understands when to press go, when to press the brake a little bit. Smart guy himself. Hasn't competed a ton in terms of how long he's been around. He's 8 fights over 6 years or something like that. But now the wins are undeniable. Gilmer Melendez, Nick Lenson, Sadiq Yusuf in his last three. The problem is they're just all decisions. He hasn't had a finish since he beat Mads Brunel back in 2018, which, by the way, that's a very good win. Mads Brunel is a super good fighter. But there's just a little bit more activity you would want to see from him in terms of the arc of a calendar year and a little bit more oomph to it. But in terms of just managing rounds, managing the space, managing the exchanges, when you go first, when you go second, what you key in on as a counter fighting tool or not, he is just exceptional at that. So it wasn't the most exciting night of fights or afternoon fights. You know, a little surprised they went with what they went with to open the show for an ABC show. But in the end, Marvin Vettori gets his hand raised, as does Arnold Allen. And Marvin Vettori, I think he's on a collision course with Israel Adesanya, but just not yet. A little bit more proving he has to do. And for Kevin Holland, a major reset moment, I think, is needed. Okay, we got a lot more analysis to get to on Monday. It'll be me and Rashad Evans, and you will react to this entire card, plus Bellator, plus whatever else is on your mind. So please give the video a thumbs up, hit subscribe, join us again at 11 a.m. in the East on Monday for Morning Combat. Okay, until then, see y'all later.